Jason, you see the Syracuse head coach?
Yeah, I feel for his wife.
Well,
like, imagine see, you get to the stadium around 7, 8 a.m. work all day, lose by 2 touchdowns, man. You know, imagine if it's a road game, man. Hop on a flight, it's funky. Fly back from, I don't know, maybe a 2-hour flight, come straight home smelling like straight stank locker room and a loss. Got the nerve to try to give her. But he even said, well, I'll just brush my teeth because I have to. Like, what?
Oh, man. This is a wild boy, man.
Did you say smelling like stank and a loss? That's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting there going, I hope my man's joking. I'm like, he's like, my wife said, I got to sleep. He's lucky his wife lets him in the house.
I'm doubting. Like, I have a lot of doubts that this young lady that I'm looking at lets this fly.
I mean, we've heard a lot of capping on these internet streets the last few days. I mean, bartenders making up crazy sums of money they made tonight.
Come on,
a lot of lies. I mean, we're getting near Christmas time. A lot of lying going on. A lot of lies being told. You know. And we haven't even gotten probably to the best part of the lie season just yet. But, yeah, a lot of stuff out there. Yeah, I do not want to believe that man come home smelling like that. And then his wife lets him stank up the guest room.
Yeah, I do not believe for a single second that this woman lets just absolutely emphatically not.
I mean, with all disrespect intended, especially this week, imagine he come out to Berkeley and gets beat on and got to fly cross country smelling like I don't know what they would give him post game. He could smell like old Ivy hoagies and like no, he's not. If you were an assistant coach, would you sit by him?
No.
Be like, no, we're not going over no plays from this game. I'll see you tomorrow.
He'd have the aisle to himself.
They just put him in the airplane bathroom, be like, you stay in there until we land.
Yeah, I can see like they're very dressed very nicely for this ball, and his wife's got a little open cut dress, and she's got a tattoo right here. A woman like that is not letting her man into the house smelling bad. Absolutely not. He potting. Usually, he making stuff up at the podium.
Tattoo in that area means that she don't play.
That's it. That's the universal sign for I don't play.
Yeah, you get a tattoo. Yeah, she's not playing with you.
We ain't playing around. No. Man, just for real.
In fact, he got his ass cussed out just for saying this publicly because he knows everybody going to look at her now.
Now they texting her.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. We've
seen that happen too before. Somebody get to talking crazy, and you're like, oh, he in trouble now. He should have just kept that. You know, her mama may call him. Like, you let that man be funky in the house like that? Sometimes you know that's a day where the PR mic should have stopped working all of a sudden. Okay, press her over.
And by the way, since I was here, because I did the same thing, I was looking at Fran Brown's wife and seeing what's going on there.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
It
sounds terrible.
It sounds bad.
It led me to Steve Sarkisian's wife, and Steve ain't playing around.
Well, are they together still or what?
Well, I think they got back together.
Because my girl's a big fan of, you know, they're in the same sorority and all. She's a big fan of, she don't know who to coach. She was like, you know, the guy from Texas' wife. I'm like, okay. Like, she'd be on Instagram and she'd be killing it. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I have no idea.
He really ain't playing.
like when Garrett Temple got with his wife, she hit me up like, you know Garrett Temple's? I'm like, I have no idea who that woman is.
Wait, what's Garrett's wife?
She's like a former Miss America or something like that.
Oh, wow. Shout out Garrett.
Garrett strikes me as she's a beautiful woman. I was like, but he also strikes me, he'll marry the most wholesome woman on the planet.
When Garrett Temple is like the governor of some state, or we're all gonna be like, it was so cool that we knew Garrett Temple back in the day.
Facts.
Garrett Temple.
Yeah, when Garrett Temple is like, I don't know, like, you know, I don't know, he's gonna do, you know, I guy like Garrett, his greatest moments in life are definitely ahead of him. He's gonna like do some thing like his brother's already like a, I forgot what role in government his brother already has. You know, he just comes from a really great family, you know.
Shout out Gary.
That was a random transition, but you know.
No, fine. I remember. I met. What his dad?
His first dad was
black
first
player at LSU.
Player. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow. I remember that.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah, Garrett's a good dude. His family were great people. Garrett used to be funny. He would post videos of like he beat his dad at Monopoly or in some like, and his dad will walk away just like furious over the outcome of the game. But like they took that stuff seriously. Garrett's a great dude, man.
Yeah.
Great dude.
They had I saw a picture the other day of Garrett Temple sitting on the bench. These guys were all out. It was Garrett Temple, Bruce Brown, and Scott.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, Scott, all three of these guys have the same job. And they couldn't be dressed differently.
They were like, see, the oldest to youngest, and it was obvious who the oldest was and who the youngest was. It was like, yeah. Somebody said everyone takes casual Friday at work differently.
Because, you know, my boy Bruce Brown, he on his cowboy tip nowadays.
He is.
He doing his thing.
Yeah, man. I don't know what Scotty's on.
Yeah,
so.
Scotty on that Playboy Cardi.
You know that I'm born in the 2000s. The stuff I just can't understand.
You know who can't dress is that rookie here. Devin Carter can't
dress. Don't do that.
Devin Carter
don't do that. I've seen him a couple of times outside of opening night when he had sweats on. I agree.
Devin
but
Carter
outside of
dress.
That, he looked fine.
He wears brands. That's what he does. But he doesn't wear them well. He doesn't wear clothes well.
Don't call him Richard Jefferson. Don't do that.
Well, I didn't do that. I don't know. Wait a minute. I'm not insulting the man.
Man, that sounds like an insult.
Well, no. Like, calling somebody Richard Jefferson is an insult. No, he doesn't. Nah, I don't. He's got to get better.
He's been okay.
I disagree.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
Opening night, I didn't like.
I know his dad. I know his dad. So maybe we'd holler at Anthony and be like, what's going on with your boy? But
I didn't like opening night.
Comment. I can't comment. You know, I can't comment, you know, on.
Yeah, look what you're wearing.
Jason looks fantastic.
What are you talking about? Nice stuff here. Nice.
Trash.
I haven't went cross-cultural with the hat. You know, this is quality.
Cross-cultural with the hat. Stop it.
I mean, your shirt's on the way. I ordered you one. Don't
send it back.
That was nice.
Send it back.
But you went to the store. They didn't have these in yet. So I
did not go to the store.
I
was walking by the
store.
That's
true.
I was at City Walk. What are you talking about? I didn't go out of my way to go to the Dodger store. I was walking by it in City Walk. Stop.
Sure.
Stop.
I've been to San Francisco plenty of times. I don't have pictures like that.
Well, the Giants dugout store isn't on Market Street.
I don't even think they have Giants dugout stores. I've been by their displays. I didn't say, let me get a picture real quick.
Well, I know somewhere else Jason won't be taking a picture, and that's on the floor of the Sacramento Kings in-season tournament basketball court.
Oh, man.
The court ranked 12th. In the athletics rankings, and Jason Jones said, if I had to draw a crown and mix it with the Twilight Zone, this is what I'd imagine it looks like. It feels like the floor is trying to hypnotize me. And I can't lie. Jason's not wrong.
There were some hideous floors. I was I mean, yeah, like that quasi Washington Commander one in San Francisco. I'm like, really?
Well, it was better than
all
last
the stuff
year
you can do with Golden State. You could have put a bridge, anything, like just a big W. Okay, I guess.
Well, don't they got to keep it with the logo though?
The
right?
Pistons one is terrible.
Let me see.
I don't know what's. I mean, there's a lot going on with that one.
There's words all over it. It's number 27. Like that one's awful.
What?
Some of them are more subtle, like the Spurs. Like that's too much.
I don't know why there's a spur in the middle of Texas. I've never seen that before. You know, I'm a sucker for skylines, so I was like, okay, these are cool. You know, but some of them I was like the Rockets. I was like, I don't know what's going on here.
The Warriors one is kind of weird. Oh, the Phoenix Suns one is really orange.
Mm. Yeah, I'm like, and I'm not a big fan of, you know, okay, yeah, okay, we know what the you know, the airport letters are. Like, okay, woo, PHX,
yeah, I thought, okay. Well, thank God we didn't do that with Charlotte again. Number one, wow, what a shocker. Number one, actually, this is kind of fire, is the Los Angeles Lakers.
And I didn't have them number one on mine. They were boosted by my colleagues.
I like the it's the skyline. The skyline and the palm trees in the back is what makes it dope.
I was a sucker for all the skyline ones.
Yeah, that's kind of dope.
I love Portland.
Let me see. Oh, Portland is fire with the roses.
I love Portland. Like I said, Portland is that time. If you had a black velvet suit on, jacket, you open it up, you had that Portland thing on the inside. Yeah, I like Portland.
Gerard, you know your dad has special Portland on the inside.
Minnesota made me think about, earthy Brian Danielson. This felt real earthy, but there you go. Some of them were just like New Orleans, like just like lazy. I'm like, this is what you came up with? Okay, we'll take the logo and make it really big.
Well, why do we like Atlanta's? I don't know if I like that one.
It took me a minute to go back and look at Atlanta, and it's not as bad as I thought it was initially. It ain't my favorite, but I have to go back and look at it again.
Yeah, I don't think I love Atlanta's either. I do like these skylines one. Dallas has a skyline.
The Knicks join us.
The Knicks, fine. The Knicks has Knicks a skyline.
The thing that separates the Knicks and the Lakers. All right, settle down. Don't have a quick little trigger finger here. Is the championships on the sideline?
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah,
because the Lakers are going to get that out. No matter what, they got to get the. They got to do that.
Okay.
So, I said, show. Do
it
not.
Wasn't quick. I waited.
Said, do not.
I waited. It wasn't quick. You said don't be quick. I wasn't quick. I waited. I waited the appropriate amount of time.
I can't even have just a simple
literally
discussion.
The most famous drop of the first 1,000 episodes right there. Most famous moment.
I can't even have a simple discussion.
It's my favorite drop of it's my favorite, yeah.
See? Don't encourage.
I don't know what Brooklyn was doing. Brooklyn was kind of like, I don't know what this represents.
Now, Brooklyn must have been bad. I can't even find them.
Indiana's isn't bad. Boom, baby.
I'm also a sucker for like history type stuff.
Oh,
so.
Brooklyn's is terrible.
Yeah, I don't know what Brooklyn was doing.
That's awful. What is this?
No, wait a minute. Well, see, I kind of know what they're doing, but it looks stupid.
What are they doing?
Well, not them. I'm looking at a different one at the Wizards. I know what they were doing, but it looks a little stupid.
I like the nod to the Bullets.
Yeah, I see him. I see it. That's why I like it. But if you don't know, you're like, why is that hand there?
You got to think about it. We have now.
Why is that hand there? Well, for those just tuning in,
get your hand out my pocket. We have a generation or two now who have no idea who the Bullets are, but they're like, the who?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, yeah. I like the nod to history, but like I said, some of them I'm like. Did y'all just mail it in and say we don't care?
I can hear it too. Mark Jones, De'Aaron Fox from the pinky finger.
Who mailed it in?
Actually, pink on the floor.
It might be. You know who mailed it in was the Rockets.
Yeah, Rockets, I was like, okay.
Rockets said, I don't care about this process.
They're like, oh, ever. Yeah, like the Miami Heat one. It was just like. I thought it reminded me of like a Dragon Ball Z hairstyle or something. I'm like, what is that? Then you're like, oh, that's the top of the logo.
I don't hate Toronto's. I don't mind some of the Kings.
Yeah, not all of them are terrible, but some of them, some of them, they clearly just said, you know what? We don't care.
Charlotte's is nice. Got the honeycomb.
I like that color and I like the hive thing they had going.
So this is funny because I read Jason's description a minute ago. If I had to draw a crown and mix it with the Twilight Zone, this is what I'd imagine. And when I first looked at this, I was like, I wonder what Jason's talking about. Is he talking about the logo in the middle? I didn't realize the crown in the middle is just crowns just like over and over. I didn't even notice that until right now that's the crown Jason's referencing.
Yeah, it's like vibrating.
I thought he was talking about the logo in the middle. I was like, yeah, I don't know. There's just a lot happening here.
Going in.
Yeah.
Zach could have came with a fire skyline too.
Yeah, he could have.
Could have done something with the beam. It's probably a few.
Yeah, I mean, that seemed like the layup right there. The beam going through mid. Yeah. Man, what do you know? What do I know?
Maybe next year.
They pay me the big bucks to write stuff like that.
the other description from your boy. Too. Am I confused by this? Absolutely. Do I hate it? Absolutely not.
I agree with you guys. I like the skylines.
The skylines are pretty hot. Yeah.
Denver's is, I do Denver's like, is ranked way too high.
I do like.
I think Denver kind of mailed it in.
Yeah, get that in the 20s.
Why does the Celtics look like Pac-Man?
Well, that's the parquet, and they put green over the parquet. I understand it.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. I didn't hate the green over the parquet. I didn't hate the green parquet.
That's too high too.
I do like this element though of the in-season tournament. I like that the NBA worked to make it something different, and I think it's cool. Like Kenny and I have talked about this regularly. The first time we stepped into the Golden 1 Center for an in-season tournament game, it felt different. Like it felt like the lighting was a little bit different. Maybe it wasn't, but it looked a whole lot different on that ultra gray court. There was an atmosphere. There was a vibe. Like I think the. You know, I know this thing had like kind of some eye rolls last year, but I think the NBA created something pretty dope here.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt anything. I mean, it gives like I said last year, I found myself watching like those final 2-4 games, like wow, this is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And who knew that was like the last time that like that was like the peak of Zion's season. You know, man, my man's hurt again already.
Yeah.
Him, yeah, Jose Alvarado's hurt, man.
Was it a hamstring with Zion last year too?
Yeah. So those feels like those will be reoccurring problems, like just nagging stuff, not catastrophic.
Yeah, I don't know what you do with that. I mean, I think it's gonna be. I think it's kind of cool. I mean, I really don't understand the rules. I don't understand how they pick the groups and all that. But hey. Like I said, you know, one thing we learned last year, guys will compete for a chance to go to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
That, well, look. And
some will stop competing once they get there.
They'll get there and say, woo, I get a couple of days in Vegas midseason.
Yep.
Not even the All-Star break. Like, I get Vegas in December and I play in Indiana. Oh, yeah.
They was hype. They was popping champagne. Kyrie already talked about it, too. Kyrie, and this is the aspect that I kind of like, too. He's like, oh, yeah. You know, we gotta keep pouring it on, or gotta keep putting as many points as possible, and that's the whole thing. We'll never forget Joe Mazzulla trying to explain to Billy Donovan why the starters
furious.
Are up 30.
Joe's like, we have to score. It's the in season tournament. What?
Joe Mazzulla explaining anything is hilarious.
When Joe Mazzulla is the voice of reason in the conversation, you're in bad shape.
Anytime a coach goes, well, why does it matter? We're all going to be dead anyway. It's like, whoa, man, I just asked you about the repeating as champion. God.
Bro, I just asked you if Jalen was okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, we're all going to die. It's like, what? I just asked what time shoot around was. Gee.
Hey, Jay, we've been talking a lot about the Kings, 6-5. Mm-hmm. Had a very deflating loss yesterday. Do you think, like, they're okay? They're probably where they are for trying to add such an integral piece like DeMar DeRozan? Or, you know, are there some signs of real concern with these guys right now?
I think you probably, you know, obviously you don't like some of the outside shooting numbers. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's also a small snippet of the season. I think generally by the end, guys are kind of, you know, gravitate to their norms. And you just look at the West overall, it's not, you know, they don't have a Cleveland who's like undefeated. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone's within about 2 or 3 games of each other. So, I mean, I don't think it's like reason to panic. I mean, not having Malik is going to make a difference. You know, the fact, you know, you don't have your first round draft pick. You know, you are, you know, integrating a guy like DeMar. But I just think, you know, 11 games in, you know, on the road, you know, you get a big win against Phoenix. You know, it's good. So I think it's what probably makes last night feel more deflating is that you gut out a win like you did against the Suns to turn around and get smacked.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole, you know, back-to-backs can be weird like that. I mean, it happens. I don't think it's a reason to panic necessarily right now. But I have to believe that although, you know, the shooting numbers, like especially from three, guys will kind of revert back to their norm. Like I always say, if they went through this stretch in February and you had a much more data, it wouldn't look nearly as crazy as it does 11 games in. Now, if we get to like game 30 and everyone's shooting like 30% from three, okay, we got something to, you know, what's going on here. But I just don't believe that's what would be the case for them.
Yeah, at some point you got to see like improving. This was probably, Jay, this was kind of the focal point today. This was the last thing thought we'd see. Like you outlined, yeah. DeMar, and that was the biggest question. DeMar's fit, not being a three-point shooter, being a mid-range guy, being another mid-range guy with De'Aaron, ball-dominant guy like Domas who wants to run through it, all of these different things that you're reading and hearing and all of these questions, and it couldn't have worked out better. Like, it couldn't be more seamless with him.
Yeah.
There just happens to – they're also the top free-throw shooting team in the league. Like, all of these things that they weren't last year, a better defensive team. Like, no, we have a new problem. Because we're Sacramento and we can't have nice things, we have to have some sort of problem that needs to be fixed.
Like, things are going so good, let's start. I mean, what was that game? Was they were like 3 of 26 from 3?
That was the Clippers on Friday night.
Yeah, it was just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, in today's NBA, that's almost impossible. It's hard to do because most teams have just so many shooters. So, I mean, like, that's just so bad that I can't – they won't have – four more games like that all year. They make three? That won't happen. I mean, I just think eventually things will kind of get back to normal for them. It's just, you know, yeah, but yeah, you know, like I said, DeMar's, I think the integration of DeMar has been fine. Like I said, they've got some good win. I think the Phoenix win is a good win, but kind of has been the case. They'll have a good win. They'll have a loss where you go, oh my God, really? You know, I think, you know, you get that win in Atlanta, then you have to go up to Toronto, and then you lose that, you know, the back-to-back, you know, that, you know, as, you know, Barkley calls them the built-in losses. When you get to game three and four nights at times, some teams just kind of, you know, falter on that last game sometime. I guess I think it's too early to get too panicked, but I, you know, like I said, let's talk in a month about that shooting. I can't believe they're all at the Cole are going to shoot like that all season.
Yeah, that's kind of what I keep falling back on. You got a guy like Keegan Murray who maybe not – he isn't the 41% he was his rookie year, but he's not 28%. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, it just doesn't seem – yeah, it doesn't seem like that. I have a hard time believing he's going to be that bad all year. I think, you know, De'Aaron's not Steve Nash from three, but De'Aaron's not going to be, you know, where he's at probably all year. And I also think, too, part of as they get, as DeMar gets more familiar with them and they get from, you know, they'll probably start figuring out where to, you know, get different shots as they work together more. Like I said, you know, then, you know, Malik will get going, you know, I think they'll be okay.
Please, Lord.
That's right.
If not, you know, like I said, it was a big Sunday for, you know, for Kenny. You know, it was Niners won. You know, it was Lakers won.
No, I don't have no Lakers. It was the Niners and the Kings. That's what made it a perfect Sunday.
Yeah, both my NBA teams won. It's a good day.
What's this guy talking about? If you even like want to venture down that road, the Knicks ended up losing. So that would be the other team that I'd have any type of interest in. Not no sorry, Lakers.
I saw a really crazy stat for Cat the other day. Something like he's allowing opponents to shoot 33 or 35 in like the painted area or restricted area.
Oh my gosh.
It was like, what? You're 7 feet tall.
That is uncalled for. Like,
yo.
It was like 33 or 35 in the restricted area. I was like, how?
That's awful.
I say Thibodeau must want to fight him.
That's crazy.
Did you guys, speaking of that that Lakers game, though, did you see when R.J. Barrett noticed the guy from Game of Thrones?
Mm-mm.
So R.J. Barrett gets an and-one, and he's like, yes. And I don't know who the guy is, but he's like, yes. And then he goes up, and he looks at the guy in the stands, and he goes back to the free throw line, and he stops. He says, from Game of Thrones. And he goes, yeah. He's like, oh, hey.
That is one of the more fun parts about when you're covering a game or a sport in general. When you see who the athletes get excited to meet, you're like, wow, did you see what? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, man. Yeah, that always is kind of funny.
He said, "Oh, you're from Game of Thrones." After his and one in the second quarter. God, sir, you need to get to the free throw line and complete this.
That's funny. I'm watching it right now. That is hilarious. That's pretty funny.
The right place, you know, he's focused. He'd probably be like, do like a jersey swap. Like, can I get in like a Game of Thrones autograph for my jersey or something through the game?
That's crazy. Pretty funny.
He's like holding his jersey. He looked like an autograph napkin or something. He's like,
well in his defense. And in his defense, he hits the and one, and he's like standing right in front of the guy. The guy is like right in front of him. There's no one else between them.
Oh, he doesn't need defense. That was cool.
Oh, Game of Thrones.
It's just a cool. Think about it, it's a cool moment. I'm not gonna hate on him for doing that.
Oh, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that is very funny.
These guys have things they're fans of too. Mm-hmm.
That's very funny. That's a great clip. I love that. That's very funny. Yeah. Before we let you go, could you talk a little bit about your conversation? I assume you have one with Brian Dawkins in the article that you posted yesterday, because I think there's some good stuff in there, specifically about what he's doing regarding mental health.
Yeah, I mean, that was like probably 20 of the coolest minutes I've spent in a while. Mm. I was like, if Brian is anything like on this Zoom, the way he like in the locker room, like just the way he engages and talks. I see why he was such a great leader, but we were just talking about, you know, mental health and how it relates to veterans. And, you know, back in 2018, Brian talked, you know, during his Hall of Fame speech, admitted that there was a period in his early career where he had suicidal thoughts and he was extremely depressed. Mm-hmm. And the time he went through the process, thanked his wife, said, "You need to get professional help for this." And the one thing he said when I talked to him was, "If I hadn't have done that, I would have never basically have met the rest of my children because I didn't want to live anymore." Like he said, he had one child at that point. He said there would be that he didn't want to live. And people couldn't understand that, you know, he was a second round pick playing for the Philadelphia, playing defense for the Eagles. And, you know, why would you not be happy was kind of like the thought process. Mm-hmm. But he said there was so much trauma that he, you know, he was still living with even as an NFL player. And so now he's working with veterans, you know, and there's some stats out there at the moment, the story about now the higher rates of death by suicide for veterans. And so he's working, you know, to kind of help, you know, prevent that, encourage conversations, you know, let people know it's okay to talk about what you're going through. And Brian actually prefers the term cerebral wellness because, you know, and I can relate growing up. When you said somebody was mental, you use the term mental. That just wasn't cool.
Right.
Like, I think even in hip hop, it was like he's going mental.
Yeah.
That wasn't because he was, you know, breaking things down. Yeah. I mean, he was going crazy. Yeah. So he said he doesn't like always using the term mental. So he just like to say, you know, wellness and then, you know, have conversations and let, he said, not just even veterans, even former players. You know, make sure the players know the resources they have. And I've written a couple of stories now where the NFL will talk about they have resources for players when they're retired, but a lot of players don't use them. And he said one thing that players, what happens, he said a lot of players when they retire, a lot of their friends are still playing and they're still on that player schedule. So you're sitting at home, you want to talk to somebody, your boy is in practice or he's in meetings. And some of the players just struggle with that. They struggle with the fact that, you know, if you're married, you've had this way of life for however many years. Now your wife is like, okay, why are you know, she's not used to you being there. So you almost feel out of place in your own home because they've had a way of life during the season for so many years. So it was a real cool conversation. I really enjoyed talking to Brian.
Yeah, man, it seems like one of the true leaders, you know, in obviously football, but now he's taken that leadership into trying to better other people's lives and trying to get out information to help save lives potentially, man. And it's great.
Definitely.
It's great.
Yeah. Great stuff over there, Jay, with that. Like, shows you the range of Jay. Yeah. He can write about mental health, talk to legends like Brian Dawkins, and then trash basketball courts the very next day.
Yeah, that's no problem. You know, it's whatever the job calls for that day.
Yeah, I mean, there's range. You know, it's like, hey, you can't box me into just one thing. You know, I got some other. You know, I got some music stuff coming. Then I got some like, you know, athlete profile. I got some profiles coming, and trying to work on some stuff where maybe I have to maybe force myself to go down to some wineries, you know, because, you know, for the sake of work, you know, yep. if someone's, you know, selling wine, mm-hmm. would I be a good journalist if I did not go and have a few glasses
you
to
wouldn't.
Make sure?
No, man. You'd be phony.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be doing my job. So, I mean, I think a bottle or two would be a good start to make sure the story's going to be all right.
Sounds right.
So I'm working on that.
Sounds right. Like I always say, like if you open a bottle of wine, like what are you going to do with it? You finish it.
You have to finish it.
Like you finish it. You don't put it back. Yeah, like you finish the bottle.
You don't open a bottle of wine if I'll get back to this in 2 days.
No, you don't do that.
That thing has to be done.
You got to finish it.
Yeah. Jason Jones, the Andre 3000 of sports media.
Facts.
I need a flute now. I need a flute and explain how that got nominated for a Grammy.
Well, you know, Grammy loves their artistic albums.
Yeah, the Grammy, I mean, you know, or I don't know. Yeah, whatever.
I know. No, I know. It doesn't matter. I mean, we're all tuning in to see Taylor Swift win again, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, politics as usual. I'm like, how in the world did that get best out there? Well, I really enjoyed it. No, you did not.
I did. Who did it? Andre 3000? Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like, oh, it was great. Have you heard it? But it was Andre 3000. It's got to be.
Oh, cool. His lyricism on that album was just tremendous.
The bars.
Like,
bars were crazy.
His ability to use words.
Part of the album. You know that one song where he was spitting on that song.
I'm sorry, sir. You put this in the hip hop category? All right. I appreciate you, Jay, man. Thanks as always. Jason Jones, New York Times right there, The Athletic.